Beautiful presence of the Lord here this morning. I want little Cedric to come over here, little Cedric. Amen. I believe he's 11, 12?
11.
11 years old. Amen. And the Lord's touching his life, amen. And he started off real hesitant in playing the drums and stuff, but he's playing the drums in the spirit now. He's playing in the spirit right now. And what the Lord is doing in Elias, he's doing it in you too, amen. Same God, he's placed gifts in you all to worship him at a very young age. But right now I'm gonna anoint you, buddy. Amen. To get greater and greater in the drums, greater and greater in what the Lord has for your life. He's going to use you at a very young age. Amen. He ain't going to wait till you get all grown up. Amen. He's already has started. Amen. So I'm going to anoint you right now. I just want you to raise your hands to the Lord right now. Just like that. Father, we thank you here this day. I lift up little Cedric to you, Lord Father God. And though he might be little and small, you're going to use him in a mighty and powerful, great way, Lord Father God. Great power, anointing is going to come forth from his life, Lord. For he belongs to you 100%, Lord. I pray from this point forward that you would start to speak to him. And as you speak to him at his young age, Lord, he would understand that it's you, Lord. And that he would have a conversation with you as I'm having a conversation with everybody right now. Not those just here, but those viewing online. That you will start speaking with the Lord, little Cedric. And he will be speaking to you. And you're going to know who he is. And he definitely is going to know who you are. Father, anoint him within the gifts that you have placed within his life. That they be polished, Lord Father God. Polished to be able to edify the body this day, grow the church, strengthen the church this day. That all would be able to see you in his life, Lord. In your precious name we pray. And we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You may have your seats here on this beautiful Sunday morning. Worship team, you may have your seats as well. Cedric didn't get there by himself behind the drums. It took people. And that's what I want to be speaking about here this morning, that it takes people to get us to where we're at and where God wants to get us to, amen. I heard the women had a powerful time there last night in Chicagoland, amen. I seen Janie preaching like it was her last message on earth, amen. She did a great, great job, and girls had a good turnout that went to Chicago, so that's a good, good thing, amen. And how many know right around the corner, amen, this time next week we have St. Louis. Yeah. So let's give the Lord a good clap offering. I know I'm going to be there, and I challenge you for those that are questioning to go or not, that you would go to be able to experience what God's about to start doing now in St. Louis. Amen. Here this morning, the title of the message is Building Families Completes the Wall. Building families completes the wall. Been speaking on Nehemiah now for, I believe we're going on a couple of months now. Because I want us to be able to see what God wants to do and build first of all, in our lives, and then what he wants to build through our lives. And I pray by the end of this service today, you would have a better picture of what God wants to do in and through your life, in and through our church here in Milwaukee. Amen. Once again, the title, Building Families Completes the Wall. I want to welcome those online as well that are viewing right now. We love you guys. We welcome you here on this beautiful Sunday morning service. Amen. I'm going to put a little picture up there on the screens. Amen. Somebody sent it to me yesterday, one of my family members. And, you know, fall's right around the corner, September, mid-September, give or take. And they texted to me, and I said, wow, that's pretty little heavy revy, as we used to say back in the days. Amen. But it says, fall for Jesus, he never leaves. Amen. How many know that fall's around the corner? And when fall comes, the leaves fall. Amen. But if you fall for Jesus, he never leaves. And I believe the reason that people struggle with life, with their very own life, with family matters, godly matters, is because they're still falling for other things, and it's not Jesus. Whenever it's not the Lord, you will fall one way or another. So if you're going to fall, fall for Jesus, for he never leaves. Amen? Fall for Jesus. Fall in love in Jesus. His word says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's a promise keeper, not breaker. He's a promise keeper. And the promise keeper right now is going to speak through my life and what he has for your life. So you need to listen very carefully here this day. Amen? As we go to the word of the Lord, I believe it's for the family here this day, and everyone needs to listen all the way to leadership. It's for all of us, the word here today. Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, and I'm going to be reading out of the NLT translation. The wall's already halfway built. Amen. Things were going good. The opposition was attacking. And let's pick up with scripture. Amen. About this time, some of the men and their wives raised a cry of protest against their fellow Jews. They were saying, "We have such large families, we need more food to survive." Others said, "We have mortgaged our fields, vineyards, and homes to get food during the famine." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I ask that you put me to the side here this day and that you speak clearly to your sons and daughters here this day. That you speak clearly to your sons and daughters viewing online here this day. In your precious name we pray. And we all say in one accord, amen. So here, even though the wall was being built, and even though they were doing good, we open up with these three first verses here, and it shows family problems. There was problems within the families, within the Jews there that were building the wall. And even though they were having success in building the wall, Back home, there was problems. There was problems back home. And even though we all look nice, dressed up, some of you got a lot of cologne on, perfume on, and even though we look very nice here this day, in the temple of God, back home, it may not look as good as it looks here at church this morning. I want to speak here this morning on building strong families, because strong families are the ones that are going to build the wall, build the temple of God. And a lot of times it's hard to build the temple of God when things ain't going too good at the house. Things ain't going too good within your heart, within your thinking. And it's hard to come to church and want to build and say, "Hi, Pastor Charlie, let's do this." Because though you look good this morning, there could be battles taking place at the house, at the place where you stay. And I open up with this point, simple points the Lord gave me, that says, I believe one of the greatest hindrances in the building of God's house are the battles that take place in our house. In other words, it's hard to have victory at the church when we're being defeated at our house. We all want to be victorious. All of us do. We all want to be victorious here this day. But victory starts at our house. Amen? As we can all stop moving right now, as we can just come to a stop, into ushers, the entering and out in the doors and so forth, it's time to hear the word of God. Amen? I believe one of the greatest hindrances in the building of God's house are the battles that take place in our houses. Amen? I said, in other words, it's hard to have victory at the church when we're being defeated at our houses. I want to read verses 1 to 3 again. About this time, some of the men and their wives raised a cry. Some of the men and their wives, representing the family, raised a cry of protest against their fellow Jews. They were saying, "We have such large families, we need more food to survive." Others said, "We have mortgaged our fields, vineyards, and homes to get food during the famine." In verse 6 and 7, amen, we come to find out what the problems that were taking place in their homes, where it was coming from, where it was coming from. Amen. In verse 6 and 7 says, this is Nehemiah speaking, "When I heard their complaints, I was very angry." Here they were having victory at the wall, so at church, but at the house, they were being defeated. There was problems. And it made Nehemiah angry to the problem that was taking place within the houses when they were having victory at the wall. In other words, when they were all together, they would do good. But when they would all go back home, not all of them would continue to do good. And it made Nehemiah angry because of the source of where the problems were coming from. And verse 6 and 7, let's go to verse 6 again. When I heard their complaints, I was very angry. After thinking it over, I spoke out against these nobles and officials. They were the leak to the problems, amen? I told them, you are hurting your own relatives by charging interest when they borrow money. Then I called a public meeting to deal with the problem. Amen? Here we find that the nobles and the officials were the root of the problem of why there was problems in the houses. Here we find the nobles and the officials were prospering. They were prospering. But at the cost of hindering families along with their own relatives. Here the nobles and the officials were prospering. Amen. They were doing good. They were taxing people, but they were taxing their very own people, their very own families, their very own relatives, the Bible says. And it brought problems within the homes. Having all these problems and still having to go to work at the wall. So the verse at the end says, then I called a public meeting to deal with the problem. I hold a lot of personal meetings with members that belong to families here in the church that are connected to family. I have a lot of personal counseling sessions. Some are positive, some are to deal with problems of all kinds. And as I counsel a man or a woman, I'm usually wearing shorts or some blue jeans and a Victor Outreach t-shirt. I'm rarely wearing a suit when I counsel people. So it tells me that I'm going to get you in the midst of the day. Amen. I'm going to catch up with you. And I see things, and because I've been around for a minute, I understand that the leadership, new members that are here, those that are viewing online, are all at different places. But all those different places, I've been. Being in ministry now for 25 years, so I understand walking in the doors for the very first time, sitting in the back row. I understand that. I understand what it feels like to feel out of place. I understand it. I understand what it feels to feel inadequate, that you can't change, or God would not be able to use you because of everything you have done. I understand what it is to be married. I understand what it is to have children. I understand what it is to be a minister. I understand what it is to be a pastor of the flock. So what I just said right now covers a lot of experience that I have gained over the years. So when I counsel a problem, or I counsel a good problem, I know what I'm speaking about. Phones got to go off. For the little girls right there, those phones got to go off. Amen? They got to go off. So I understand what I'm speaking about. Amen? I understand what I'm speaking about when I'm counseling you about a matter, even if it took place in my life 25 years ago. I understand walking in fresh into the church Amen. When I speak to where the member might be, I understand. So when I counsel, I'm counseling with understanding, according to God's word, and with experience. Amen. And 25 years worth of now. And when I counsel a man or a woman, whether it's a bad problem or a good problem, in mind, I keep in conscience in mind, if this man, if this woman, if this young adult gets it, I keep in mind that they will be able to help me in strengthening the families of the church. I keep in mind at every counseling session, whether it's a brand new person or a leader that's been with me for many years, I always keep in mind that if you get it, you're going to help me build this church. So it's to my best interest, your best interest, that you listen and that you do your best when you're challenged in regards to fulfilling the call of God upon your life. They were having problems. Nehemiah got angry. Bible says in verse, after thinking it over, he thought about it for a while. Before he said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm bringing them in. I'm pulling their covers. And the Bible says here at the end of verse 7, then I called a public meeting, not a personal private meeting, but I called a public meeting to deal with the problem. In other words, the complaining mothers, fathers were there. The officials were there. The nobles were there. Everybody was there when Nehemiah would address the nobles and the officials for what they were doing because it was wrong. Amen? And in verse 12, the Bible says that the problem was taken care of. As we read, these are the people after he had spoken to them at the meeting, amen? They replied, we will give back everything. These are the nobles and the officials. We will give back everything and demand nothing more from the people. We will do as you say. How many have ever told the pastor, okay, pastor, I'm going to do it, and you didn't do it? Or you tried and it was too hard and say, you're going to have to cast me, copper or pastor. So the nobles and the officials say, we'll give back everything and demand nothing more from the people. We will do as you say, Nehemiah. Then I called the priest. Nehemiah wasn't done yet. Amen. Then I called pastor and made the nobles and officials swear to do what they had promised. Amen? Shows us here that when problems are taken care of, it's easier to say amen at the church along with giving praise to the Lord. Go to the next verse, please. I believe verse 14. See what 14 has. It's 13. Verse 13 now. It's right. Verse 13. So he calls in the priest to make sure what they said they were going to do was going to get done. And then the Bible in verse 13 goes and tells us Nehemiah had his robe on. Amen. He says, I shook out the fold of my robe and said, if you fail to keep your promise, may God shake you like this from your homes and from your property. The whole assembly responded, amen. And they praised the Lord, and the people did as they had promised. So here, Nehemiah, through wisdom, took care of the problem, because if the problem remained, the wall would not get completed. There's problems in the church that need to be dealt with within the families that make up the church. In order, if those family members are going to be effective church workers, church wall builders, it's very important. And here in 13, because the problem was taken care of, the people were once again able to say amen. The people were once again, the Bible says, able to praise the Lord. How many know it's easier to come and say amen while I'm preaching and praise the Lord, Pastor, when everything's going good in your life? Amen? You're having a good week, a good day. Some of you probably are, some of you probably are not. But isn't it so much easier to say amen when I'm preaching and say praise the Lord when you're feeling it and everything's going good in your life, everything's going good at the church, everything's even going good at the house? But when things ain't going good at the house, it's hard to say amen and praise the Lord, even at church. And here, Nehemiah knew if the wall was going to be completed, that the problem of the families and the households would have to be dealt with. It would have to be dealt with. He didn't want bummed out workers. How many work? Amen? How many know it's hard enough just to go to work than have to work with a bummed out person that can't say amen, amen, that can't say praise the Lord? They're just bummed out. They're just angry. They're just mad all the time. It's hard to work along the side of somebody that house is in ruins, attitude is in ruins, and all they can do is murmur and complain while at work. It's hard enough to work on having a good day, having to go to work. So here Nehemiah knew, I got to strengthen the families if I expect the wall to be completed. See, there's some things right now within each and every one of our lives that if the good work the Lord has started in our life is going to be completed, there's some problems in your life and my life that need to be addressed, that need to be addressed to the right person. See, the problem is that we address what we're going through to the wrong people. Because you ain't got no shame in your game telling them that are going to give you the most worst counsel ever or the best they can, instead of coming to the pastor for him to know what you've been up to lately. So many people take their problems to the wrong sources. because they don't want to be found out. There's many in the church that says, I will never tell you my personal business at my house, Pastor. That's it. Stick to your story, amen? It's yours to tell. But I could almost assume that you're going to stay with problems in your house if counseling that comes through wisdom counseling, does not come to you. Even though they were doing good building the wall, if these matters wouldn't have been addressed by Nehemiah, he would have had nobody wanting to go to work in the building of the wall, because they would be too busy fighting at the house. I believe it's important to open up to my wife and to myself to have victory in your home, to have victory at church. It's hard to have victory at church when you ain't having victory at the house. Amen? My pastor knew everything about me. Amen? He never asked me nothing. I just, when it came to it, I would go to him. And though I loved my dad was doing great at this time. He was up in age, but clean and sober, no longer an alcoholic. And my dad was very wise, very educated, bachelor degrees. Amen? He had all these degrees. Retired principal. If I needed principal counseling, amen, my dad was the one to go to. But I needed godly counsel. And even though my dad was a great man, when it came to the godly counsel, I would go to my pastor. I wouldn't go to my father for advice. Dealing with kingdom building, dealing with personal struggles that I was facing, I would go to my pastor, and he would always give me a simple but very wise counseling session. By the end of the session, I would say, amen. But in my heart, I would say, I can't do that one. I can't do that one. But he never heard that. But inside, I would say, can't do that. It was asking too much. It was asking too much for my life. That at that time was very limited in what it could do. It was always too much that was being asked of me. Here's a revelation that I want to get across here this morning, church. And one that you got to take ownership to. That's if you want victory at the house and at church. In Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible reads, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished rebuilding the wall and that no gaps remained, though we had not yet set up the doors in the gates. Last Sunday we read that the walls were half built, roughly up 20 feet high. Now the walls were built. The counseling sessions of Nehemiah in dealing with the problems at the homes paid off. The people were once again able to say amen, praise the Lord, and get back to work in building the house of God. And here we find that the enemy found out when they were halfway that they were no longer a laughing joke, but that they were the real deal. And now the whole height of the wall, 39 feet tall of rock, was now complete. And once again, the enemy found out. The enemy was there at the real beginning, at the beginning of the walls, ridiculing them, making fun of them because they knew who the workers were, people like you and I, ex-drug addicts, gang members, alcoholics, people that knew too much. In the beginning of the opening up verses, when I started the series, they were a joke. And as the chapters went, the wall was now half built. And the enemy was there also when it was half built. Now the wall had been completed. And guess what? You would have thought the enemy would have left. Because it was too late and the walls were completed. But the enemy was there. Tells you and I that every step of the process of becoming a great man of God, woman of God, young adult of God, the enemy's going to be right there. He's going to be right there to say, you can't do it. Your pastor's even crazy to think, he's crazier than you to think that you can do it. And we find that every part of the process of the building of the wall from the beginning to the end, that the enemy was there to bring ridicule, to bring opposition, to bring battle. The enemy was there. But what we need to remember is that God was there before Nehemiah even got to Jerusalem, that God was always there, and all he needed was a man. All he needed was a man that he could trust to carry out a plan that was going to take a God to see him through. All God needed was a man that was willing to leave his comfort zone as the cupbearer of the king. He needed one man. And as he was able to capture the one man, the king came, the people came, everything that was needed to build the wall came. And I believe that the Lord is once again looking for one man, looking for one woman, looking for one young adult that says, here I am. God, if you want to use my life, you can use it. Here we find that Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished rebuilding the wall and that no gaps remained, though we had not yet set up the doors in the gates. And the revelation to the message here this day, people, is that we can have family problems and still build the wall. Amen. Still build the kingdom. That's a good place to give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. Don't allow the enemy allow you to believe because you got family problems, you can't build here at the church the kingdom of God. Nehemiah got the job done with a bunch of VO people. They got off to a bad start, but as they got going, amen, and God got moving and the signs and wonders started taking place, we find the wall completed. And once again, we find the enemies right there. But a shift had taken place. We can have family problems and still build God's house. In other words, God uses imperfect people to allow everyone to know that it is He that is doing the work through us. God uses imperfect people to allow everyone to know that it wasn't us that got the job done. It was simply God working through us to get the job done. The wall got built. And the Bible says that the enemy found out that the walls were built. That where there was people not doing their part, there was gaps. Now the people, amen, got it together where there was no gaps. In other words, everyone did their part in rebuilding the walls. There's a reason, he says, there's a reason that they found they had finished and that there was no gaps remained. I believe there's some remaining gaps right now in the church. Amen. Because some of you are still at a place where you're not willing to be all in. You're still halfway in, halfway out. God, I want to do it, man. I know God, it's God speaking to me. But this is easier going this way. And God, I know you want to use me, but this is easier. But God, I know you've been speaking to me. I know you're preparing me, but this is easier. And there was people like that thinking as the wall was being built, they weren't doing their part, and there was gaps in the wall. I need to ask a question here this day because we're talking about life and death, heaven or hell. Is there a gap where you should have been building something? And we need to remember that a few weeks ago that Nehemiah had the families build the portion of wall that was right in front of their house. So if the gap was left undone, the enemy would first attack their house. It gave incentive to the people to do their part. So if the enemy was going to hit, he was going to come through the wall somewhere else and attack some other family. It wasn't going to be their family. And I believe a lot of times why there's trouble in the families is because we're not doing our part in building the wall that is before us to build. That God has given us everything to build it. His favor, His call upon our lives. And I believe there was a few stragglers in that crowd that at the end got it together, because Nehemiah said that there was no more gaps that remained. In other words, God uses imperfect people to allow everyone to know that it is He that is doing the work through us. I would be the dumb and dumber pastor of the world to say, I've done this. God made sure He chose a dumb and dumber person when He called my name, so when He would work through me, that He would get the glory and the honor. That at the beginning I couldn't take the glory and the honor for it. In the middle of it I couldn't. And right till present day, 25 years later, I cannot say I've done this. God has done this through my life. I've allowed Him to use my life. And to prove that it is God that is doing the work, and God that calls the man, the woman, the young adult. We go to chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. And the Bible reads, so on October the 2nd, the wall was finished. Just 52 days after we had begun. Get this next verse, amen. When our enemies and the surrounding nations heard, once again, not just the local enemies, the three homeboys that were always listed, but the enemies of the surrounding nations now heard about it. Just like around the world internationally, everybody's hearing about Victory Outreach now in over 33 countries all around the world. It's not just an East LA thing no more, a Southern Los Angeles thing anymore. It just ain't a Northern California thing anymore. But what God's been doing in over the 55 years now, everyone is hearing of what the God of Victory Outreach has done, is doing, and going to continue to do through a people like you and I. And the Bible says when our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened. They were a frightened enemy. There's one thing about having an enemy and having a frightened enemy. Amen? Big difference. They were frightened and also humiliated. That's why you can't be prideful, people. They were frightened and humiliated. This is the one I want you to get, the verse I want you to get. They realized this work had been done with the help of our God. The local enemies, the enemies of the region, the international surrounding enemies of the nations. I believe when they heard of the wall, they not really wanted to see the wall, but what they heard of the wall, I believe what they asked and what they were thinking was, who built it? I don't believe they wanted to see the wall and see if the bricks were laid right and things were done right at the job site. I don't believe so. When they heard, I believe all they wanted to know was who did it. And when they heard who did it, you and I, people like you and I, they said, they realized they didn't do it. The only reason it got done is that they definitely need the help of God. The help of God. You and I can do nothing apart from God. The Bible says clear that we can do nothing apart from the Lord. When they heard who had helped in building the wall, at the names and the people, they realized the reason it got built was because God was helping them build the wall. See, when God is on your side and he's helping you in your marriage, he's helping you with your children, at the job place, at the ministry place here, when God is helping you, there's nothing you nor I can't do. There's nothing we can do when we got God help on our side. During this whole time here, the enemy was plotting and wanting to meet with Nehemiah to take him out, to kill him. I didn't want to preach that part, give anybody ideas. But I'm gangster, amen, for Jesus. During this whole verses 5 and 6, the enemy was plotting to take Nehemiah out. They knew that he was the man that God was working through. They knew that he was the man that was working with the families, that was taking care of the family problems. They knew if we could get Nehemiah out of the way, these people are weak. They can't do it by themselves. That's why men of God in the church are needed today. Women of God in the church are needed today. Young adults of God in the church are needed today. When they felt and heard that the walls had been built, the enemy was frightened, humiliated, and realized that God was helping them. And my last note says, God help, I put here, God help uses imperfect people. Nobody wants to work with imperfect people no more. Skip that. You do it. I tried 10 times already. I'm done. So they found out that the walls were built because God helped them. And my last little thought with the Lord here this morning there at my house was, God help represents using imperfect people that you need. You need imperfect people in your life. Everybody say amen. Amen. Say, everybody say, I got a lot of those. You know why you got a lot of those? Because you need a lot of help. God's help uses imperfect people that you need. But we don't want to work with Flunke and Flunka, and we don't want to work with them. When God uses imperfect people to get the job done. If that was not a truth, we wouldn't be all around the world as a ministry right now. You know what has got me behind this pulpit and has kept me behind this pulpit for 25 years? Imperfect people. Men's home. They said it. I ain't say nothing, Kenya. Look at me like that. Imperfect people have made me and have kept me with God helping me. And the revelation I want you to get this day, that the wall was built with imperfect people. We can do this. You don't have to be perfect. We're the many parts that make up the body of Christ. The Bible says that he is the head. He's the only thing that is perfect in this picture right now. But the reason he uses an imperfect people like you and I is so that he can get all the glory and honor, that he's able to do anything and everything to anybody and through everybody, no matter where they've been, no matter what they've done. That he can lift their lives up to build his kingdom. God's help represents using imperfect people. Yeah, that got the codes to our life, that know exactly the code to get in, to get us mad, angry. Oh, there it goes again. Beep, 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 beep. When we come in through the hallway in the back, the door thing has a code. So, dee, dee. And then at the real end, once you get the last number right, it goes beep, bzz, and it opens. How many got the code to your life? No matter what you do, they get in. And you change the code and they get in again. And you get mad again and you fight again and again and again. Because they keep getting the code to your life. But no matter what's going on in your life today, God still wants to use you. Because he's perfect and he knows what he's doing. He knows the person. Sometimes the person he wants to use is so jacked up, talking about me, Pastor, is so jacked up where we want to argue with God. There's no way you're going to use him. There's just no way you can use her. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. Connie says she's the new face of Run for Hope. When 4 or 5 years ago, she was the face of a prostitute on the street corner, tweaking and tripping and tricking and all that. playing hide and go seek with nobody there. So you got to be an ex-dophine to understand that stuff. Amen. I know we still got a few true old dophines up in the house. Too many times we think we got to have it all together to get it together and to be used of God. That's a lie. That's a lie. God would have never used Victory Outreach if that was the truth. And why is our ministry is still growing all around the world? Because God continues to get all the glory and the honor. It's a God help thing. It's a God factor thing. It's a wow factor. Where we can say, wow, went to go pray in the morning and I just sat there. Who am I to get the message together to preach to you guys here this day? But an imperfect vessel. But now a vessel of honor, even though I'm still imperfect, I'm one of God's vessels of honor that he can pour into so I can pour into your lives and preach in the word of hope this day that you don't have to have it together to help build this house of God that is made of a bunch of imperfect people. The only perfect one is God. So bring up your jacked up family, I say. Bring them. Bring them. We got a spot for them. A matter of fact, the more jacked up they are, the grace abounds even the more. God's going to use them even more and a mighty more according to his word. Where sin abounds, the grace of God abounds even the more. We should have a competition who has the most jacked up family in the church. And watch God go to work. And you can get the ribbon that says, I want the most jacked up family in the church. What a competition. What a competition. We're all imperfect. We're all imperfect here this day. But the perfect God that has it all together is still saying, you're my son, you're my daughter. And I still want to use you. I'll work with your imperfections along the way, but get the hammer. Let's go. Pick up your word. Get to church. I still want to use you in the process of changing your life. God does the greatest works in the process of us continuing to go forward, even though we might win the category of the most jacked up family in the church. Our ministry is made up of a bunch of X, this, and that's. But whatever other ministry can boast in the Lord that they're all around the world, we can. And another work's going to start in St. Louis. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm going to be there. Not in the best place in St. Louis, but where a bunch of imperfect people hang out. It's where we're going to bring hope. That if God did it for us, I'm going to be there wearing nice clothes and a suit. And that's why the testifying is so important. I used to be a junkie and used to be all this, and now I'm a man of God and bringing hope to the city of St. Louis. Eli's out there being used right now of God. We didn't send him because he was perfect. We sent him because he was very imperfect. Eli, are you listening this morning? The little emoji goes like that, and my phone goes. I didn't say nothing. Jason Johnson wrote the note in my notes here this morning. I just read it right now. Yeah, Jason Johnson. God uses imperfect people, man. So stop tripping about the problems at the house, and let's bring them to the altar today. And let's build this thing as God would want to do it. Amen. As the worship team makes their way here this day. Let your problems be the fuel God uses to get you there. As we stand here this day, I'm going to open up the altars. I just want everybody to come. I seen little Cedric playing in the spirit, the drums, man. I was peeking. And I said, that's not Cedric no more. Why do I mention that? Because he used a very imperfect person called Jay. This is the proof that God uses imperfect people to be able to bring forth the gifts and the work that needs to be done. He used Jay and working with Cedric up here and talking to him on the ear said while he's, okay, come in now. You know, fade out, fade in, fade out. And now little Cedric. I think pretty soon he's going to take the headset off and say, I don't got to listen to Jay no more. Yeah. 11 years old. And he's coming with it. Playing the drums in the spirit. I heard it. I heard it. He was in his own little world back there. He's never gone high, but he was. But he was getting high in the Lord, baby. He was all loaded. Let your problems be the fuel God uses this day to get you to where he wants to get you to. I believe everybody should be running on a full tank right now of problems. But God wants to remove that fuel, those problems, that he can fill you of his spirit to get us to build his house, which represents the lost, the bound, the souls. And he wants to use us as imperfect as we are, as we make mistakes. God wants to use us. And as we continue to go forward and make a mistake, God perfects us a little bit more. And he makes us a little bit sharper. And we continue to go forward in saving souls. God wants to use everybody here this day. The Bible says that the wall was no longer halfway built, but completely built by a bunch of imperfect people that had the help of God. The help of God. I believe there's problems in your all's lives right now that only can be resolved by the help of God. And once again, the help of God represents him using imperfect people. So you need me. You need me. But the flip side of that is I need you. Well, Pastor, I don't agree with a few things you do. Well, praise the Lord, I don't agree with a few things, a lot of things you do. You want to? I don't agree with a lot of things you do. I still love you. I still showed up this morning. I still booted up and suited up this morning. I didn't let the devil stop me. In being a man of prayer, but a man of no action. I showed up this morning. I showed up this morning. And I know I'm imperfect. I don't need to be told that. I know I am. You know you're imperfect. You don't have to be told. We just got to come together as God's people with God's help. And with his help, we can build anything and everything that he wants done in this darkened, end time world we're living in. We can do it. The misfits of this world, with God's help, can do it. If you got problems here this day, God's here to help you. Now, if you don't have problems, you probably don't need God's help. But that would make you out to be a liar, amen? You would need help in telling the truth. I'm going to open up the altars here this day, whatever the song is, love, whatever the song is. Keeping it real, as the young adults saying, keeping it 100 here this morning. We're imperfect people that serve a great God, a perfect God.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.